Chapter 14. I looked up and down the tunnel as I tried to figure out which direction to go, but they both looked about the same. There were glowing mushrooms growing in random patches along the floors and the lower portion of the walls. Really, the only difference I could see was that the right side hooked several yards down into a turn, while the left seemed to go straight back and was lost in the dim light. "Maybe this will help," I said, as I pulled out my sketchbook from my backpack and showed Amrilla the map I'd started. "It's not to scale, but you might be able to get an idea of where we're going."
"This is very good,"
the horned woman complimented me.
"Over here is where Bermshire would be."
Amrilla pointed to the bottom right corner of my map, so I took out a pencil and started to fill in more details. The farmland and the village. Then the Zenkari woman indicated where the edges of the Bernshire cavern would be, and I drew them in too. With Amrilla's help, I was able to make the map more accurate, and satisfaction curled warm in my gut.
"Somewhere in the blank patch is where we escaped from the spiders,"
she said as she examined the map.
"It looks smaller on the map, but I think this is where the tunnel started. So the cave we ended up in would probably have been here."
I looked at where she pointed, and on my map, it didn't seem far from where we had fought the troll. If we would have taken some different turns, we might have ended up on the other side of the river from the troll's cave. There wasn't enough room on the map to add in the cave where Amrilla had magically augmented her voice and caved in the tunnel, but it was a place to start figuring out how we got to this point. "So, if that cave was here, then the crevice we went through was probably on the northern wall," I muttered to myself. I tried to remember the turns we had to take through the tight, claustrophobic tunnels after the crevice and the drop-off that put us where we were, and used my finger to follow my guess on the map. "I think that means we're here." I pointed to a place in the blank space, not far from the river that cut through the cavern of the great forest and fed into the underground lake. "If that's right, then we should go left and come out somewhere near the river. Once we find the river, we'll follow it upstream and find the forest."
"That's possible,"
Amrilla said with a skeptical look.
"But we also might end up in the mushroom growth that is now infested with spider younglings."
"It's our best shot right now," I shrugged.
"I admire your attitude, Eddie."
Amrilla grinned with her slightly pointed teeth. "It's done well so far," I said as I grinned back at her.
"What's wrong?"
she asked, after we'd stared at each other for a few moments, and her smile started to drop from her beautiful face. "Oh, nothing," I cleared my throat.
"No,"
she scoffed.
"What? You were staring at me."
"I like your smile," I admitted. "It's really pretty." She blinked a few times, and then her lips curled up into another adorable grin.
"You say the strangest things, Eddie, but I like them. Also, it seems like you are the one flirting with me now."
"You were grabbing my ass," I chuckled as I packed up the map.
"I'm quite sure you wanted to grab my ass, amongst other things. But later,
Later, I agreed. We started along the left tunnel and walked for what felt like an hour, but it might have only been 20 minutes. Time in the gloom had little meaning, and it made me long for the surface all the more. I missed the open sky and my modest trailer, but most of all, I missed Ibseth. I owed her one hell of a date night once I got back. There was another strange thing about being so far underground. I'd never known a world where I couldn't just pull out my cell phone and call or text someone. I'd never realized what a luxury the constant contact in the modern world was, and I wondered what life must have been like decades ago, when you had to hope someone was home to call them. Finally, the end of the tunnel came into view, and it took a force of will not to run the fuck out, but once we stepped out into the large cavern, I stopped and listened. "I can definitely hear running water," I said, as I looked around at the rock outcroppings and boulders that littered the ground all around us. There was no plant life that would have let me know we might be close to the forest, but all I had was my instincts, and I needed to trust them.
"I hear it too,"
my red-skinned companion confirmed. "If we keep going forward, I think we'll find the river, unless you recognize where we are."
"Not exactly,"
Amrilla replied as she looked around.
"But I almost never come to the western reaches of the Yeni territory. It's all wilderness and infested with wild brownies."
"You don't like brownies?" I snorted as I started forward.
"No one does,"
the horned woman said, as if it should be obvious.
"They're scavengers. I'm a thief, but at least I have standards. The brownies will take anything that isn't nailed down and light enough for them to carry. And the wild ones like to tip their arrows with poison that will paralyze you, so they can pick you clean before you can move again."
"They seem all right to me," I chuckled as I stepped over a large crack in the cave floor. "They gave me a button after I shared some dried fruit with them."
"A whole button?"
Amrilla drawled sarcastically.
"Why bother with the troll? You're the richest man in the world."
"Sometimes it's what a gift means," I laughed. "Not what it's worth."
"Well, if I ever lose a button, I know who to turn to,"
the red-skinned woman joked. Shrubs and flowers started to appear on the cavern floor, next to the rocks and boulders, and then the river finally came into view, and my heart leaped. Soon, I'd be able to kiss Ibseth and take a fucking shower. I quickened my pace as Amrilla and I followed the river upstream, and the subterranean landscape became more and more familiar.
"Assuming you really are from the world above,"
the Zenkari woman said as the vegetation around the river started to grow more dense.
"Which I'm not saying I actually believe. What's it like there?"
"It's all hard to explain," I said, as I thought about Ibseth and how everything in my world had been completely alien to her. "There aren't any monsters up there. At least, not what you would think of as monsters. The only intelligent race is humans, but we're all pretty different from each other." The edge of the forest came into view, and I suddenly knew where I was as we walked through the first scant trees and then into the great forest. "Our towns and cities seem to be bigger than they are down here," I continued. "But the biggest difference is there is no ceiling. Just a wide open sky that goes on and on. I'm really missing that right now."
"No ceiling?"
Amrilla scoffed.
"Ridiculous. What would hold in the air?"
"The atmosphere," I shrugged. "It's like this layer of denser air that keeps the oxygen in."
"So the air is held in by denser air,"
the horned woman said with a raised eyebrow.
"Sounds silly, Eddie."
"I was never good with science," I replied as I stepped over an exposed root. "I just know it works."
"Absurd,"
Amrilla laughed.
"You will have to show me."
"So, you want to come with me?" I asked, since I could see from the playful smile on the Zenkari woman's face that she believed what I was telling her more than she wanted to let on. And I looked forward to seeing the expression on her face when we finally got to the surface and she saw it was all true.
Can I?"
she asked, and she suddenly seemed nervous.
"I mean, I don't actually believe it, but I guess I should see it for myself."
"Yeah," I said and smiled at her. "You can come back to my home. I think you'll love it."
"Good."
She nodded before she looked away from me, and it kind of seemed like her cheeks were turning a bit more red. but maybe I'd imagined it. Then I wondered how Ibseth would react when I got home, and the thought of her heart-shaped face and lush figure helped to keep me going through the exhaustion. As Amrilla and I walked through the quiet forest, the sudden sound of footfalls and the cracking of a branch made me stop. The Zenkari woman must have heard it too, because she also stopped and ducked behind a tree. And I crouched down behind a bush and watched as a night elf in the blue-gray armor of Ursinger's soldiers came into view. Damn! The man had white hair with the sides shaved, much like the ones I'd seen the first time I encountered Janaeus here in the Great Forest. The elf was looking around with his sword in his hand as he patrolled through the forest, so the red-skinned woman and I waited for him to pass deeper into the forest before we moved from our hiding spot. Then I shifted to where Amrilla hid behind the tree, made sure to keep low in case there were any more of Janaeus's men close by, and spoke to her in a low whisper. "I think we can assume there are more of them in the forest," I said as I looked around us.
"Most likely,"
the horned woman muttered.
"We can try to get out of the forest and see if there is another way around."
"I don't think that's going to work," I replied as I pulled up my AK on its strap. "They're not going to stop looking for us, and it's another few hours of walking to get to the tunnels I want."
"What are you proposing?"
the black-eyed woman asked as she instinctively placed her hand on the hilt of one of her swords. "We try to draw them out and confront them in an open space where they can't sneak up on us. There's a clearing not far from here. I think if we can get there, then we can take them between the two of us. I can keep them back with the rifle, and you watch my back with your swords."
"There were a dozen of them in Bermshire, including the Nyctors,"
Amrilla said with a shake of her strawberry blonde head.
"And they might have gotten reinforcements by now."
"I really think it's our best chance," I said. "Otherwise, we're wandering around blindly and risking running into them at any turn. I'm not saying we need to fight them to the last man, but if we draw them out, we'll know where they are and how many we're dealing with."
"I can't decide if you are crazy or brave,"
Amrilla said with an approving smile. "Probably both." I laughed softly as I popped my mag out of my AK to double-check whether it was full, even though I knew it was.
"Well, you've kept me alive so far, and I guess it's better to die young and beautiful than grow old and feeble. I'll follow you, partner."
"That's the spirit," I grinned. "Next patrol we see, we'll raise the alarm and make a dash for the clearing. Once we're there, we get back to back. I'll keep them away with gunfire, and if anyone gets close, you take them out with your swords." Amrilla and I kept low and began to sneak toward the direction of the clearing as we looked for another patrol. Minutes passed, and I was starting to think we'd get to the clearing before we saw any of Janaeus's men. But then a Nyctor flew overhead. "Shit," I muttered under my breath. "Maybe I could throw a rock or something to get his attention."
"I have this."
Amrilla pulled a strap slingshot and a few small rocks out of the pouch on her belt. Then the Zenkari woman stood and watched the Nyctor make slow, lazy circles over the tree line as she began to twirl the sling and aimed it upward. And after a moment, she released the stone, which flew at a shocking speed through the air. I thought it would hit a branch, but the stone cleared the tree line, and even though it didn't hit the Nyctor, the bat-like creature's head snapped toward it, and I realized their eyes were much sharper than their half-blind cousins. Then the Nyctor looked down into the trees, and that was what I'd hoped for. "Now," I hissed, "run!" The red-skinned woman and I began to run toward the clearing, which was only a few yards ahead. The Nyctor followed our movements from the air, and it screeched and made a strange barking noise to alert the other soldiers. Amrilla and I entered the clearing and moved just far enough into it that we would have a 360-degree view around us. This way, the guards couldn't use the trees to sneak up on us, but we could still make a quick escape into the forest if we needed to. I watched as the Nyctor made frantic circles overhead, and I waited for the creature's calls to bring Janaeus and his men to the clearing. The Night Elf captain must have guessed I would come back here, since this is where I'd rescued Ibseth. He knew the forest was significant to me, though he likely wouldn't know why. But the possibility made the knot in my stomach tighten, and because it would mean he knew this was a place I commonly passed through, which put him one step closer to finding out about the iron door and the path to the surface. Amrilla stood at my back as we waited in the tense silence punctuated only by the screams of the flying Nyctor. The Zenkari woman had both of her swords at the ready, and we watched the tree line for any signs of movement. The Night Elves were aware of the destructive power of my rifle, so they would probably try to overwhelm us with numbers, if they were smart. Then I spotted movement in the forest as three elves in blue-gray armor crouched in the undergrowth while they came up to the edge of the clearing. "I see three of them just to my right," I whispered to the red-skinned woman behind me. "Do you see any yet?"
"Not yet,"
Amrilla whispered back. The three guards seemed to be waiting for something, probably the rest of their unit. But I didn't want to give them the chance to rush us, so I turned toward them, took aim, and fired in their direction. The bullets tore through the leaves of the short bushes the elves were using as cover, and I heard a scream as two fell to the ground, and the third broke and ran back into the forest. I thought about shooting the man down, but I needed to conserve rounds, since I only had two mostly full magazines. Luckily, the size of the cavern made the loud report of the rifle more bearable and didn't amplify my shots to the deafening volume the smaller caverns of the Troll Cave and Bermshire had. My ears rang a little, but I could still hear well enough. I took some steadying breaths as Amrilla and I stood back to back and waited for more soldiers. But it was only a moment before I heard a loud, challenging shout as five night elves sprang from behind trees and bushes and ran at full speed toward us.
"Three behind us!"
the horned woman shouted. I began to fire at the running elves. They were smart enough to spread out, but they weren't really behind cover and obviously didn't fully understand how semi-automatic rifles worked. I took out the line with four well-placed shots, and elves fell to the ground with their bodies littering the floor in bloody heaps. Amrilla dashed at the three soldiers behind me, and I turned to fire at one of them before they could close the distance. I squeezed the trigger, and one screamed and stiffened as the bullets ripped through his leather armor. He fell backwards, screaming, while the remaining two attacked the Zenkari woman. But Amrilla blocked the wide swing of one of the guard's swords and kicked the other back with a snap of her long leg. I stepped forward, kicked at the guard whose swing she had blocked, and knocked him to the ground. Then I pointed my AK down at him and put a thumb-sized red hole in his chest. And then I double-tapped him in the head to silence his scream of agony. Amrilla ducked under the other soldier's heavy swing of his broadsword and slashed at the night elf's calf, which caused his knee to buckle, and while he was incapacitated, she came in with an upward thrust of her other blade and ran it through his belly. The guard stiffened, and blood spewed from his mouth as he slid back off Amrilla's sword.
"Good job,"
I said once the wave of guards were down.
"You too,"
she smiled at me as she flicked the blood off her swords.
"Ugh, I'm still not used to how loud that rifle is, though. My ears hurt so badly."
"I'll get something to protect us from the sound once we get to the surface." The Zenkari woman nodded, and then we returned to our defensive position and waited. The forest was suddenly alive with the shouts and calls of the night elves, and Amrilla and I braced ourselves for whatever would come next, as I wondered if I should switch my magazine out. Before I could make a decision, two more Nyctors appeared overhead as their high-pitched calls filled the air. But one strong, deep voice rose above the noise, and I knew Janaeus had finally found us. The branches and shrubs on the western side of the clearing rustled and broke as 20 night elves in bluish-gray armor rushed into the clearing, with their leader, Janaeus, visible at the back of the force in his fine purple armor. As the screaming horde of elves came at us, I released a rain of bullets that took out the front line, but I used the rest of my magazine. "Run!" I shouted to the red-skinned woman, and I dashed to the southern end of the clearing and into the trees as I switched out my spent mag for a new one. Amrilla ran next to me as we cracked through the trees and shrubs back toward the river. For the life of me, I wanted to run east, but I couldn't risk leading Janaeus any closer to the iron door, so my plan was to get far enough ahead to be able to take out a significant portion of the guards before we'd have to confront them directly. I stopped and turned as the river came into view. I had a clear line on two of the soldiers chasing after us, but they were about 100 yards away, so I knelt to steady my shot, brought the butt of my rifle to my shoulder, and fired at one, then the other. Both fell to the ground with a red spray of blood as more came into view. So I fired again and managed to take another night elf out, but two others took cover behind the gnarled trees. "Get across the river!" I shouted to Amrilla. The Zenkari woman splashed through the shallow water while I covered her with a few shots at the trees the soldiers were trying to charge out of, and I stood and followed her once she was on the other side. But as I got halfway across the cold shallows, three soldiers appeared on the other side. Amrilla held both her swords up and crouched in her fighting stance as they rushed her. The horned woman was amazingly fast, and she dodged out of the way of one of the soldiers' blows while she turned and cut through the breastplate of another before he could bring up his short sword to defend himself. Then, in a fluid motion, she brought one of her blades around and swung at the first attacker, but he was able to block her swing. I couldn't fire at the first attacker without the risk of hitting Amrilla, so I aimed at the third soldier, while the elf the horned woman had wounded fell to his knees and clutched at his bleeding chest. I breathed in, aimed, and squeezed the trigger of my rifle as I exhaled. The third guard had started to raise his sword to attack Amrilla from behind, but then his chest and shoulder exploded in a red spray as my bullet hit him, and he fell dead on the marshy ground by the river. Amrilla swung her right sword in a smooth arc at the elf fighting her, and he brought his broadsword up with both hands to block. But then the red-skinned woman thrust her sword into his ribs, just under the man's raised arms, and the guard shuddered and fell back. I finished crossing the river and went over to Amrilla, who was wiping her sword off on the fallen enemy as shouts rang throughout the forest. Then we looked up and saw another dozen or so of the night elf force closing in on us through the trees.
"There are so many,"
Amrilla sighed. "Yeah," I said, as I knelt on one leg to get more stable with my shot across the river. Then I squeezed the trigger over and over again. I hit most of my targets, but it seemed as soon as one elf warrior went down screaming, another two ran to replace him. My AK clicked empty as four of them made it to the river, and I quickly switched to my last mag as they began to push through the water. Then I took the men out with 5 shots, but there were another 10 coming down the slope from the forest, and a handful of arrows missed us by 30 feet. "We gotta move back," I hissed as we began to back up more, and I realized that I was for sure going to run out of rifle ammo mags and would then have to switch to my high point. I fired at the closest elf as we backpedaled from the shore. The first shot missed, but the second caught the soldier in the forehead, and his neck snapped back with the force before he fell dead. Then, to my shock, a volley of tiny, needle-like projectiles flew up from the undergrowth and overtook the half-dozen night elves running toward us. The soldiers had to pause in their pursuit to protect their faces and any exposed skin from the flying needles, and the forest floor was suddenly alive with movement in front of us as brownies came out from the bushes and shrubs and notched their bows again for a second volley. I could see the scarred brownie chief I'd met among them as he squeaked stern commands to his tiny army, and a wild grin stretched across my face. I knew befriending them would come in handy. I heard a scream above me, and I looked up to see three Nyctors swooping down through the green and purple foliage while keening their high-pitched calls. The bat-like creatures swiped at the brownies with their long-fingered, clawed hands, and groups of the little rat people were forced back several feet to avoid them. Then, with a firm, final squeak from their leader, the brownie archers released their arrows, which rained down on the cursing night elves and screaming Nyctors. I saw Janaeus at the back of the soldiers, and his blue face was enraged as he watched his men be stopped by the little rat people. "Are you children?" Janaeus screamed at them. "They are tiny pinpricks! Forward!" Spurred forward by their leader, the night elves began to move again, and they kicked and stomped on the brownies as they went. I even saw one Nyctor scoop up one of the tiny archers, bite off its head, and throw the limp body to the ground. Several of the tiny brownies were crushed under the feet of the elves, or flung into the air as they were kicked to the side, and I felt sick. They had risked their lives to help me, even if their arrows weren't enough to stop Janaeus's forces. "Run!" I shouted to the brownies as I stepped forward and fired my rifle into the advancing line of guards. The brownies broke and ran back into the protection of the forest, and I walked forward, determined to make sure the sacrifice of the rat people meant something. I hit one of the soldiers in the stomach, and he doubled over and fell to his knees as the rest rushed forward. But then several of the night elves and the three Nyctors went stiff and also fell to the ground. And I suddenly remembered what Amrilla had said about the poison the brownies used. Their needle-like arrows hadn't done any damage to the elves or Nyctors, but the paralytic substance on the arrowheads had. This was my chance. I couldn't run the risk of these assholes following me back home. I had to end them here and now. "We have to get him before he escapes!" I shouted to Amrilla as I ran firing at Janaeus and his six standing guardsmen.
"Let's kill that fucker!"
The Zenkari woman appeared by my side as she let loose a shrill war cry. Two of Janaeus's guards went down as I shot at them, and then I sprayed more shots as I got within 50 yards. My uncontrolled burst felled one of the soldiers, and Amrilla dashed to my left so she could attack a guard carrying a short sword and shield. As I looked Janaeus, Ursinger's lapdog and right-hand man, in his red eyes for the first time, the black-haired man's lip curled into a snarl. I fired my rifle at the elf leader, but missed him, and the round hit a tree behind Janaeus and sent bark flying. The fucker had been kind of running away from me, but then he switched his strategy up and dashed toward me with his sword raised up. I aimed my AK at the fucker's chest and pulled the trigger. I expected him to die, accompanied by the angry retort of the rifle, but all I heard was a click. "Fuck," I hissed when I realized I was empty, and I ducked and rolled out of the way of the elf's sword. I used my forward momentum to wrap my arms around Janaeus' waist and tackled him. We both hit hard on the marshy ground, and my rifle was thrown off my shoulder. But Janaeus also lost his grip on his sword, and it skittered away and fell into the river. The black-haired warrior and I rolled away from each other and back to our feet. By the time the man in the purple armor found his balance, he had pulled a long, hooked dagger.
"Where is the princess?"
Janaeus smiled wide as he crouched low with the cruel dagger gripped tightly in his hand. He was actually standing between me and the AK, and his eyes drifted to where the knife was sheathed on my belt. I didn't bother to draw it, though.
"You'll never find her,"
I said as I shrugged. I could hear the sound of combat behind me where Amrillo was fighting the two remaining guards, but I couldn't chance a glance back to check on her. Janaeus was a trained warrior, and the closest thing to any training I'd ever been through were a few fights when I was in school. I observed the slow, prowling movements of the black-haired night elf, and I was determined to force him to be the one to strike first.
"I am going to kill you,"
Janaeus said in a calm voice as he smiled smugly.
"But if you tell me where you're keeping the princess and explain to me how your loud blood weapon works, I will do you the favor of killing you quickly."
"Ipseth is safe and free now," I grinned back at the elf as we started to circle each other. "And just think, with her gone, there's no one in the way of you sucking Ursinger's dick." The night elf snarled and lunged at me, but my hand had already drifted down to the grip of my high point. With one smooth movement, I pulled the pistol free of my holster and fired it. The report of the handgun ripped through the now silent forest. Janaeus froze, and the expression on his face was one of surprise as he looked down at the red blood now oozing from his stomach. Then he fell to his knees as he dropped his dagger, and the black-haired man's hands went to his wound as he tried in vain to stop the flow of blood.
"Indiana Jones style, bitch."
I stood with my gun held firmly in my hand, and I walked past Janaeus and kicked the dagger away as he sputtered. Then I turned to find Amrilla, but the two guards she'd been fighting must have overtaken the red-skinned woman, and now they held her captive as she struggled fiercely against them.
"Let her go,"
I said in a low, dangerous voice as I brought up the pistol and took aim at the elf on the Zenkari woman's left. The two remaining night elves looked at one another over the struggling woman, and the one on the left raised his hands in the air, opened his mouth as if to say something, and simply ran into the woods.
"Fucking coward!"
The final guard standing shouted at his companions retreating back. Then he turned and leveled a gaze filled with hate at me. But he let go of Amrilla's arm and slowly backed away before he too turned and disappeared into the woods.
"So you do have the princess?"
The horned woman smiled as she straightened and looked me up and down.
"Here I was thinking you were innocent of all charges. Remind me never to play gamble cards with you, Eddie."
I grinned and winked at the beautiful, red-skinned woman. And then I turned back to Janaeus as Amrilla came to my side. The black-haired night elf had fallen onto his back, and his blue face was pale as a trickle of blood leaked from his mouth. The elf stared up at us with unconcealed hatred, and I looked back at him with calm indifference.
"You have made a powerful enemy here today,"
Janaeus rasped.
"Ursinger will take the underworld apart, stone by stone, to get his sister back."
"Let him," I shrugged. "What he does is of no concern to me."
"Is that the message you would have me deliver to the Night King?"
the black-haired man sneered. "Nope," I said, as I aimed my pistol one last time. "I have a different message for him." Without waiting for a response, I squeezed the trigger. This time, the bullet went straight through Janaeus' heart, and as he died, that smug fucking expression left his face. Good fucking riddance. Then I looked around the forest floor at the dead and paralyzed guards lying on the ground. We should get going, I said to Amrilla. I think we're done here for now.
Back up to this surface world?
The horned woman asked with a hint of sarcasm. Yep, I smirked. I grabbed my AK and Janaeus's dagger, since I wanted to give it to Ibseth as sort of a late wedding present. We might not have had a ceremony, but she was my wife all the same, and I wanted to spoil her as much as protect her. While I did that, Amrilla picked the pockets of the dead, and when she came back, her pouch of coins was a little heavier. As we turned to leave, there was a rustling in some of the low bushes, and a handful of brownies appeared, including my scarred friend. I knelt down as the leader of the wild rat people came up to me, and he bowed in an elaborate fashion. Thank you, I said, as I smiled and tried to return the gesture, but with less grace. But I was still unsure if the brownies could understand me. The scarred brownie raised a tiny fist to his heart and squeaked as he inclined his head. So I'd take it as, you're welcome. Amrilla looked on with a surprised expression, but didn't say anything while I took off my backpack, pulled out what was left of my jerky and trail mix, and then laid the bags on the forest floor. This is for your losses, I said to the leader. You didn't have to help us, and I know you lost some good friends today. The scarred brownie nodded his head, and then gave an order as several of the rat people came up, hefted the bags between them, and carried them into the underbrush. The leader of the brownies lifted his tiny hands in the air and made several squeaks in the cadence of a chant as he looked around at his small army. I didn't know exactly what he said, but the chant was taken up by the other brownies, and I felt a warm glow fill my chest, since I knew the chant was for me. I stood and bowed to the gathering of tiny warriors, and Amrilla and I crossed the river as we headed east to the sound of a brownie war cry.
Friends with brownies,
the horned woman said as she shook her head and smiled.
I've never seen anything like it.
Can't have too many friends, I grinned. My pop taught me that. As we made our tired way through the forest, filled with a warm glow of victory, my thoughts turned to the sunlight above and laying in a warm bed with my arms wrapped around my wife.